So last week, Rachel started off with a talk about fear, just her experience and some of the Vipassana techniques of working with fear. And I thought tonight what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about the old school, as in the original teachings of the Buddha, how he helped people deal with fear and worry. And we're going to do it tonight during the meditation. So what I'm going to ask you to do when the time comes is to bring up in your mind a subject that's been worrying you, causing some obsession or repetitiveness. And this, just in and of itself, is a good idea, because so often in life we run from fear. We hide from our fears. We try to distract ourselves in our day-to-day lives so that we don't experience what our fears and worries are. And then, of course, they catch us when we least want them. We least want them to. They sort of sneak up on us, and suddenly we're in worry about, it could be our health, or it could be about how many friends we have. It could be, what am I doing with my life? It could be, you know, a sense of lack of purpose, or a sense that I'm in the wrong job, or it could be a sense that our friends don't appreciate us. We have so many different worries that can sort of snare the mind. One of the ways that fear snares the mind is by approaching us as if we're the only people who've ever experienced these feelings, these thoughts. When, of course, everybody has fear, everybody has worry, and we all pretty much worry about the same thing. How other people think about us, what's going to happen to me, am I going to be okay in the future, will I be able to pay the rent? There's no really new fears. They're all, but they, for some reason, even though all fears are pretty much the same, we tend to relate to our own fear as if, well, I'm the only one who's ever gone through this or really understands what's going on. And you can't possibly know what it's like to be with all these worries and concerns. Well, in fact, everybody does. So, the Buddhist practice, in a nutshell, is when fear arises in us, when we have obsessive worry or fear, not to push it away, not to run away from it and distract ourselves by delving into work or turning on the TV or, you know, shooting up drugs or whatever, not, you know, to hide from it. Both techniques we know pretty well don't work. We can agree, hopefully. We still do them, but we sort of know by the time we're adults that those strategies don't work. But the problem is a lot, we're not really taught other ways of relating to our fear and our worry, our obsessive thinking. And that's what one of the many, many tools that the Buddha offered was techniques of, instead of fighting and arguing with fear, which we so often do when a fear comes up, like, oh, I'm not going to be able to pay the rent, then often our next thought is, oh, I'll figure out a way. And then suddenly we're in a law case in our head with the two lawyers in our brains, one lawyer arguing why we're going to wind up in financial ruin, and the other lawyer explaining why we'll survive. Or we could distract ourselves, run away, or get angry at the fact that we're experiencing fear. All of these techniques don't work. They don't work. There's actually a very good psychology book on the topic of why you can't get rid of fear. The good news is that while we can't get rid of fear, we can actually live with it. There's this old saying that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is learning to see fear and figure out a way to be with it and act despite it. So people who are really brave, people who live comfortably, are not people who suddenly manage to get rid of those fear voices in their heads, because those voices do not go away. They're hard encoded in a part of the brain called the amygdala, which is largely incapable of understanding logic. So trying to reason with it, not going to work either. Now, arguing with it won't work. Luckily, there are tools And there are strategies that help us work with uncomfortable thoughts, worries, our concerns. It could be the worry of, I'm going to wind up alone, I'll never be in a good relationship, I'll never find the right job, I'll never have my art appreciated, I'll never, whatever fears we have, rather than trying to argue with them or distract ourselves, we can relate to them in a new way. One of the big important tools, though, the way they start is by learning to, for a while, put down the story, which is the projection of fear, what we think is going to happen, and be first with the sensations, the gut feelings, the body, the way fear affects us physically, and then we learn to work with the thoughts later. You'll see how it goes. So find a comfortable seated position, any position that feels good. Don't try to look like the Buddha. Don't try to look like, what you imagine a Buddhist or a mystic or a meditator should look like. Just find a comfortable seated position. It is good, if you can, to bring the energy into your spine. If you can keep your spine, somewhat straight, it's helpful in that it will make it easier for you to stay alert and not get drowsy. But if your back, is really uncomfortable staying straight, don't worry about it. And it's really important when we meditate to bring a mindset of being compassionate. Okay? We spend so much of our lives in a place of judging or a place of trying to get somewhere, a place of trying to run away from things, a place of trying to just get things done, or try to deal with all the things we have to do in life. And yet, all we're working for in life is the opportunity to let go and relax. So meditation is where we do that. And one of the ways we let go and relax is by really making sure that we set an intention to have a very, very forgiving, compassionate, relaxed mind. So when you're ready, close your eyes. If you don't feel comfortable closing your eyes, it's okay. You can stare at the ground right in front of you. But try not to look around the room. The reason being is that meditation is letting go of the world, and it's bringing our awareness within. And what we're going to be doing while we bring our awareness within is try to cultivate a state of peace and relaxation within. So when you're aware of what's going on, just notice how your body feels, and if there's anything that needs adjustment, feel free to do that. If you feel uncomfortable, if your clothes are too tight, if you're just, there's some part of your body calling out. Just notice what the sensations that are calling out most to your attention. It could be the feeling of the cushion or maybe a sound. Maybe the sensation of being hot, or you might feel the fan. But all these sensations are tools to anchor our awareness in the present. Really give yourself permission to put down thinking about what's going on in the rest of your life. Let's first just get very comfortable and give yourself permission just to drop all the big stories for a moment. We can work with them in a little while, but just put them all down. Give yourself a chance to feel the body. We spend so much of our lives focused on the world that we don't notice how much stress and often numbness we carry around with us. So this is a time to reacquaint ourselves. And when you reacquaint yourself with the body. Be very gentle with your spirit. Bring your awareness up to your crown of your head. And relax any tightness in the forehead, allowing the eyes to settle. One of the most skillful postures is to allow yourself to have a very slight, unforced smile, if that's possible, which tells the body that everything's okay. The jaw is relaxed, and if there's any tightness in the base of the throat, just breathe up and down and send those breathing sensations through that area. And just think thoughts of relaxing it. The shoulders should be hanging as heavily as they can. And if it feels okay, slightly tucking the shoulders back, which opens up the chest and makes it easier to bring in the breath. Take a deep, long, slow breath and allow it to fill up the chest and release it, and see if with the exhalation you can let go of any sense of tightness. Just breathe out any tension. And now locate your abdomen with your awareness, and it's very helpful if you can soften the belly. Just allow your belly to expand as much as it wants. Allowing the buttocks to settle and allow yourself to sink into the cushion. No tightness in the thighs or the legs, just allow them to be roots. And then when you're ready, find an area in the body, perhaps the chest or the belly or someplace where there's enough space in the body where you can feel the sensations of breathing, the in-breath and the out-breath. For a moment, just imagine that for example, your chest is like a boat on a river, and the breath is the river itself expanding and contracting. And just ask yourself, what kind of breathing rhythm would feel really relaxing right now? As I watch my breath, as I watch the chest or the belly subtly changing, what would feel really good to the mind? See if you can feel your awareness slowly lifting up in the body with each in-breath, and then ride down the sensations like you're surfing a wave with each out-breath. So riding up and riding down the feelings of the breath in the body. Keep asking what would feel really good right now. So once you have a comfortable breath going, while you keep the foreground of your awareness on the sensation of the body breathing, see if you can recall any worry or difficult thought or fear that's been challenging at some point. It could be any subject. Try not to jump around to more than one. Just find a single fear. Once you have that thought, allow it to enter the mind, but rather than focusing entirely on it, see how it affects your breath first. Just see how it affects the sensations of breathing. So if you're thinking a thought like, I don't know if I have enough money, or I don't know where I'm going to get a job, or whatever it is. When you think that thought, can you bring your awareness down, keep it with the breath, so that you're aware of how it's affecting the breathing. And just notice. Does the breath get more shallow, or does it tremble a little, or can you keep a slow, nice, even breath while you just allow the thought to be there without pushing it away, without indulging it, without agreeing with it or disagreeing? Just leaving it as a what-if thought and seeing if we can relax the breath. So a second technique is when you think a thought that's troubling or frightening, you can, if you want, stay with that thought or move on to another. This time see if you can find where your body gets tight when you think of something that's worrying. You think the thought, I don't know, I wonder what will happen to me, or how will I get by, or whatever thought might cause concern, see if you can find places in your body that start to get slightly tight, contract. And just notice how fear affects the body as it affects the breathing. And then, just as we did with the breath, see if you can relax these areas while you keep that thought. You just allow that thought to be without agreeing with it or disagreeing. So bring to mind for a moment a compassionate, reassuring thought. Thought of feeling proud of something you've done that's been skillful, or a thought of a time you were generous, or a thought of appreciating just that you've come to meditate tonight. And just notice how this thought appears in the mind. Is it quiet, or is it loud? Is it insistent? How do thoughts that are peaceful sound in your mind? now bring to mind a thought that's not compassionate, that's a thought that's been worrying you. And notice the difference between the two. What kind of voice does a worried thought appear in? Is it insistent? Does it seem louder? Or does it appear in a different part of your mind? Is there a way that you can learn how to tell the difference between your peaceful thoughts and your thoughts that are just driven by fear? Can you tell by how they speak to you, or do worried thoughts repeat themselves, whereas compassionate thoughts just only come up once in the mind? If you bring up a thought that has been disturbing and you just say hello to it, without disagreeing or agreeing, you'll begin to note that the power that comes with those worries and fears are beginning to quiet. It's the resistance that we bring to fear and worry that makes them louder and more persistent. Sometimes it's skillful just to have an attitude of, okay, that's what my fear is, it's okay. Now allow the worry or whatever fear you've been holding in your mind to release. And as you scan your sensations, the breath and the body, see if you can notice how you know when fear is beginning to go away. Does it first leave in the breath or the body, or does it first leave your thoughts? It's important to know when you're caught in a cycle of worry and when it's beginning to dissipate. Now reflecting that
The true purpose of all spiritual practice is to find inner peace and calm. And that there's nothing unskillful about wishing peace for yourself. If you're truly peaceful, you'll react better with other people. When we're truly peaceful, we rarely speak harshly or do unskillful things. So peace is not just for our benefit, it's for all beings' benefits, and peace doesn't come at anyone else's expense. It comes from within, so it's not selfish. So whenever we're worried, we can also think thoughts of, may I be truly peaceful? May I be free of stress and suffering and fear. May I feel safe. May I live with ease. May I find true peace within. Now send these intentions out to all beings. May all beings be free from stress, suffering, and fear. May all beings feel safe and live with ease. May all beings find true happiness and peace within. All beings in this room. All beings outside of this room. And if you can feel this series of thoughts with some sincerity, then you'll begin to notice that they bring a great sense of calmness to the body as well as to the mind. Wishing ourselves well. Cultivates so much calmness in comparison to carrying around stories of anger or resentment, planning, trying to figure everything out. One of the skillful things to do is just to bring the awareness within and to develop peace so that when you reapproach your worries, you have a different mind state, not a reactive one, but one where you respond. So let go of everything we've been doing and just bring your awareness back entirely into the body, seeing if you can just for the last few minutes of the meditation let go and just be totally relaxed. So it's always skillful as we leave a meditation to remind ourselves that the point of meditation is not only to develop peace within and to learn how to be with difficult mind states and cultivate a new way to live with all of our challenges, but also to rebalance the mind for the rest of the life. So when you bring your awareness back to the world, don't abandon entirely the body. Try to rebalance your awareness between knowing what's going on around you and what's going on inside of you. The sensations, the breath, the feelings, what moods are going on. Be aware. It's equally aware of what's going on inside as what's going on outside. And as slowly as you can, like you're leaving a yoga position or doing something very, very slowly, begin to transition from the meditation to being aware of what's going on around you. Okay, so, final brief note. As I was saying on Tuesday, it's very important when we're caught up in fears and dramas and worries, when they pass, we tend to only notice and remark about the times when we're right about something we've been worried about. But when something we've been fearful of doesn't come to pass, and it turns out to be something that was a needless worry, we tend to shrug it off and not notice. And this habit actually is an extremely self-sabotaging and unskillful practice. It's really important when a fear or something we've been worried about passes and it didn't occur. For instance, if we're worried about how am I going to pay the rent, and we do pay the rent, or we're worried about a health scare and it doesn't come to pass, or we're worried about what's going to happen to us at a job or financially and then it doesn't happen, it's really important to notice how much time we spent worrying about something that didn't happen. Because it's only through noticing how much stress we create for ourselves needlessly that when fears come up again, like monetary fear or family fear or relationship fear, when they come up, we can then think, oh wait, I had a fear like this a couple of years ago and it was a real doozy and I spent months on it and it didn't come to pass. When we have this clear wisdom in place, it transforms the way we relate to fear. We don't think, oh, it's true because it's inside my all-knowing mind. Instead, it becomes one of, oh, just another fear, one of those things that pop up in my mind could very well not be true. And that's a really important transition to make. So, I'm going to turn this off.